Morning. Welcome to worship, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for September 5th. And I don't mind saying it's good to see you here. The last while we've been worshiping outside, and had we followed that pattern, I suspect today we would have moved inside anyway because of the rain, but much needed showers of blessing of sorts. If you have lawn or garden, you've noticed, no doubt, the absolute necessity of some watering. And so certainly welcome this rain today and forecast at least for the next couple of days. This morning is a special morning of on several levels, and certainly want to acknowledge that this morning we'll be hearing Pastor Nick's message, Surrounded by Mountains, based on Psalm 125. And as he and Megan and family anticipate moving in the next while, just to acknowledge Nick's last message sharing with us. More on that in a moment, but first, draw your attention to the flowers on the communion table in front here, in memory of Margaret Berg, who passed away on Monday, and the service was held here on Thursday, and continue to express God's blessing, comfort to family. Fred and Salma are here this morning, and Eric and Marlies, Laura, and also Sandra and Monty Aiken, who are all part of extended family. There are others as well. A couple of other announcements, of which apologize, there are lots, but it's beginning of September, and so there's lots for us to adjust to. Beginning next Sunday, we are going to be introducing a new timetable, a new schedule for Sunday mornings. And so next Sunday's worship service here will begin at 10:30. And moving forward, the English services will begin at 10:30. So we look forward to seeing you here then. If you come at 10, you'll be a little bit early, so relax and enjoy that time. But as mentioned before, Pastor Nick and family preparing to move to BC, and so we are anticipating sharing a service of thanksgiving and blessing farewell for his ministry, having been with us the last number of years, and we invite you to join us for that special occasion. And certainly want to wish you, Nick, Megan, Jubilee, and Lucia, God's blessings as you move into this transition. And certainly blessings for the new stage of life. May there be many good adventures for you in the days and months ahead. Next Sunday, 10:30. Also next Sunday, Sunday school is going to begin, and that will be at 9:30. And children age 3 and up, including youth in grade 12, there'll be different groups for learning and praising God, students reminded to wear a mask, and there'll be plenty of room for physical distancing. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact Taya Himes. For those of you who enjoy reading, the church library will again be active next Sunday and prior to the service and afterwards, so look forward to that. Plans are also in the works later at the end of the month for once again to host a German language worship service, and that will be the last Sunday of the month. We've generally followed a rotation of second and fourth Sundays of the month, September 26th, and that will be at 9:15. And so 9:15, 9:30, 10:30, those are the new time slots for the coming days ahead. Just a reminder, indoors, that you seat physically distanced, wear a mask, and we do that for the safety of those around us. For our music, we continue to ask that you participate, perhaps by humming, thinking of the lyrics, but please refrain from singing. I'll also mention, beginning this week on Wednesday evenings moving forward, the Chorus Niagara Children's Choir will be rehearsing here at the church. And for safety, at least for the first while, for the month of September, they will be rehearsing outdoors, again physically spaced, but the plan is for them to, as long as the weather permits, to be outside. So just so you're aware of that happening Wednesday evenings at the church. As you can imagine, there are lots of ins and outs of planning events. That's been a challenge for the protocols for COVID, and we appreciate your cooperation. Earlier, it had been anticipated that we could have our annual corn roast Saturday the 11th, and mentioned in part that could be an opportunity to personally wish Pastor Nick and family God's blessings in an informal manner. The steam engine has had a delay in its inspections, and so we've postponed that to Saturday, September 18th, so the following Saturday, and that will begin at 4 p.m. There will be free corn, there will be music by before midnight, and other details for that will be made next Sunday. Quite likely the youth will not be able to host a barbecue that we've usually had, but with that we'll continue to look for other ways to support the youth of our church. For those of you who get the e-bulletin, the emailed version, obviously condolences to Margaret Berg family, but it mentions there the video of the service available on our church website. That's not there, but the family members do have the link to that service if you would like to see it. Then regarding change of address, Elizabeth Van Wallace, she's moved into long-term care at the Heidehof home. The address in the e-bulletin needs the letter C, Charlie, C, in front of the room number because she's in the C section of the facility there. So we'll correct that next week. Eileen, our office administrator, has also asked me to share with you if you have been receiving the snail mail version of the bulletin, and as I say that, I also think you notice we have not distributed bulletins this morning, but if you no longer need the snail mail version, please let her know, and obviously would appreciate that as there are extra costs involved with distributing it that way. Lots of announcements, though, informative things of ministries happening through the church and in the wider community, and again, check the bulletin, whether it's the email version or the snail mail version for that. Now to transition to our call to worship this morning, and I'll be reading from Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a prayer reflecting on the experience of both anxiety and trust for those on a journey. This prayer focuses on the Lord who keeps the pilgrim on their way, protecting them day and night, and watching over them throughout all of life. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, as we enter into our gathered worship service, tune our hearts to hear your voice. Direct our feet to the places where Christ needs to be known. Use our hands to bring justice and peace for those who face uncertain times. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Music this morning is by Jenna, Tommy, and Aaron, and the song, King of My Heart. Appreciate your sharing of your tithes and offerings. Baskets are in the foyer for you to do that, or if you don't see that available there, please speak to one of the ushers. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you are the mover and shaker of change. From your handiwork, the planets and stars move in their patterns, which you have set in motion. From your creative mind, you shift the seasons, which are the basis of life, giving us times of new birth, of growth, maturity, and rest. We thank you for the abundance of food for our tables, while we pray for those who farm, those who are dependent upon weather. We thank you for healthcare workers whose knowledge and wisdom keep us safe and promote healing. We thank you for educators who share knowledge, who inspire curiosity for learning. And as they prepare to return to classrooms, give them the energy and creativity to share for the growth of others. Gracious God, we also pray for those who lack these basics of life that we enjoy. And may we share in the ministries to help provide these for others. We pray for wisdom of our civic leaders, both local, provincial, and federal, as they seek to make decisions that affect the lives and well-being of us all. We pray for healing of those dealing with health concerns, for those who are missing loved ones. We recognize the importance of our relationships with one another, among family, friends, and strangers, so that all may know the peace of Christ. For these days, we seek to do this in safe ways to help protect the well-being of each other. Now we offer our thanks for the ministry of Pastor Nick over the past few years. Bless him as he shares the message with us. Bless him and the family as they prepare for another season of life together. Guide and protect them during this time of change in their lives. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
So Good morning. This is from Psalm 125, a song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel.
Thank you, Irene, for reading our text for this morning. Some of it, you may recognize it as the primary psalm reading from today's lectionary text. I invite you to please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sights, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You are all, having been here and heard the words shared already this morning, aware that I'll be leaving my role here soon. I shared this in person first after one of our Sundays several weeks ago. Next Sunday will be the last I'm with you. Our family's made the decision to relocate to British Columbia in order primarily to be closer to Megan's side of the family at this time. And we'll be moving in with her parents to start. They're very kind and generous to have us. But our plan, Lord willing, after that, not too long after, is to purchase a house. For a number of reasons, we're looking at the valley, as it's come to be called. And we've shared that intention with people. The response is always understanding and kind. The conversation that follows varies. People are curious about what city in particular we're looking to call our new home. They wonder about what the housing markets are like here and there. The answer is both terrifying. But one of the things that people most often say is, it's beautiful there. Another plenty of landscapes here in Ontario that I'll miss dearly, including this one here in the Niagara region. But of course, I agree with them when they say it. Like all places on Earth today, it's a landscape under dire threats of climate change. We're watching it be battered this summer by heat waves, droughts, and wildfires. But it's beautiful, even if it's a fragile beauty. I'm sure you can picture it, and many of you can picture it yourselves. Some of you have perhaps been there. That patchwork of field and farms, the endless blankets of rocks and conifers, the persistent low-lying clouds, the Fraser River with bald eagles nested on its banks, and of course, the mountains. Provided we find a place, we'll more or less be surrounded on all sides by mountains. This is true, of course, of the Fraser Canyon, and especially so as you head north and east towards the interior. You can pick pretty much any compass point and follow it towards the horizon, and you'll see an alpine range there. The coast, Cascades, Columbia, Skeena, and Amaneka Mountains stand like a kind of province-wide circle of shoulder-to-shouldered giants. We will be surrounded by mountains. And so it was for the people of ancient Israel as well, when they gathered for worship together in Jerusalem. Some of you may remember that as a city itself, Jerusalem was built on a mountain, something I'll come back to shortly. But it was surrounded by mountains as well. Jerusalem was situated in the midst of the central mountains, a range also known as the Judean Mountains or Hebron Mountains. To the north of Jerusalem were Mount Hazor, Mount Ebal, and Mount Gerizim. To the south, Bethlehem and Mount Hebron. And further to the east were what are now known as the Transjordan Mountains. And this geography, a really unique geography, provided a secure location for the people of ancient Israel to dwell. In particular, when it came to threats from neighboring peoples, which they dealt with from time to time. If you are a history buff, you'll know that the highlands have always allowed an advantage when it comes to conflicts. Opposed, of course, to the much more vulnerable position of sheltering in a city that's set up on the plains. To have 360 degrees worth of peaks offered even more protection for ancient Israel. One biblical scholar referred to it as a natural defense perimeter. We know from some of our biblical accounts that that elevated setting kept the people of ancient Israel safe on more than one occasion. In Psalm 125, which we're looking at this morning, that relative physical safety that they experienced in that place becomes a kind of metaphor for the complete spiritual safekeeping that God provides for God's people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. One writer, a contemporary writer, titled the psalm with the phrase, "Ringed by the Hills of God," which is a wonderful way of putting it, if you ask me. The sense here is that as people of faith, we can be at peace in the world, knowing that we find ourselves in a place like the City of Peace, safeguarded from harm, as if at the center of an unbroken circumference of cliffs and crags. It's meant for us, for readers, as both an assurance of divine protection and an invitation to trust in the God who provides it. This is a common theme in the Hebrew Psalms. Again and again, we hear the writers cry out to God in the midst of threats. "My enemies encircle me," they say. "Persecutors are poised at every entrance of this place, ready to pounce. Wicked people are around every corner. They've got me entirely fenced in, God." Many of the Psalms are tied to specific chapters of ancient Israel's history or the history of their authors. But the language, of course, much of it is that of poetry and is thus broad. And so what the psalm writers are describing here is the feeling of being so overwhelmed by peril that it seems like life is coming at you from all sides. That feeling like there's a flood of water rushing in at you from all directions, and there's no way of escaping it. It's a feeling that I suspect most of you, many of you, will have felt at one time or another in your lifetimes. And in the midst of that experience, in the throes of those emotions, the writer of Psalm 125 bears witness to the God who protects. Evil may appear to close in around God's people, but God surrounds the faithful like a high Syria shield. God wraps around God's own like a kind of chain of towering bluffs, linked together ends to ends. Like that city of Jerusalem, our lives are bordered at every edge by God's loving care. We're hedged in by the holy, hemmed in by the heavenly one. God is both before and behind us, as we read in Psalm 139. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. There's an ancient Christian prayer that some of you, I'm sure, will be familiar with. It dates back centuries and has been attributed to Patrick of Ireland, or St. Patrick, as he's more widely known. Whether or not he actually authored those words is subject to ongoing debates. In any case, the prayers come to be associated with him. And it's come to be associated with a particular event in his lifetime, said to have taken place during the course of his work, his missionary work on that island. The story goes that Patrick was en route to a place called Tara. He was traveling there along with a number of his fellow monks to see Loger, the High King of Ireland. Along the way, Patrick was alerted that the king had determined to capture and kill them all. Patrick was told that an ambush had been laid, with armed men hiding all about the way to that city. When Patrick learned this, it said that he raised this prayer. And the story goes that he was, as a result, spared harm that day. Like Psalm 125, it's a prayer about God's protection in the midst of danger that seemed to be lying in wait in every direction. And it came to my mind as I was preparing this meditation because it similarly describes being guarded by God on all sides. Just like that rugged imagery of the time-worn Hebrew psalm that we're considering this morning. Here are some of those words of that prayer of St. Patrick. "Christ be with me. Christ be before me. Christ be behind me. Christ be in me. Christ be beneath me. Christ be above me. Christ be on my right. Christ be on my left. Christ be all around me. As the mountains surrounds Jerusalem, the psalmist sings, so the Lord surrounds his people. Jerusalem was set in a saucer of hills, Eugene Peterson once wrote. He continues, it was the safest of cities because of that protective fortress, hills around it. And so just so are the people of God surrounded by their lords who cannot be moved. In Psalm 125, we're invited to imagine that the mountains, which stood together like a seamless stronghold wall around the holy city, to imagine, each imagine ourselves, our lives, being likewise kept safe within the perfect love of God's. We're invited to entrust our truest selves to the security that God provides. It is, of course, a shelter for the spirit. It provides us no guarantee that we'll be spared injury, illness, or bodily death. We know this. Nor does it give believers license for unduly reckless behavior or actions that put others at risk. Instead, the psalmist here speaks of a much deeper truth and a much surer comfort, which is this. In a world of endless variations of danger and difficulty, our souls are fully encompassed by God's faithful care. In a world in which corruption and calamity at times seem to press in on us at all angles, our hearts are at home and are at rest between the mighty bulwarks of God's great love. For St. Patrick and for the poets of ancient Israel, the threats that were experienced were at times tied to actual violent adversaries. We see that in the verses described in the verses that follow here. Some of us, I know, may know that experience or may come to experience something like that in our lifetime. But we also don't have to in order to understand the meaning of these words and to make Psalm 125 a prayer of our own. Because we're all, no matter who we are, daily confronted with risks, uncertainties, aggressions, and anxieties. We can relate again to that feeling of being closed in on all sides by challenges. And so we are all as well invited to rest in the assurance that we are those who are ringed by the holy hills of God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. To press the promise of God's preservation even further, the psalm writer mixes metaphors here in this lines. The writer suggests that those who place their faith in God, of the God of Israel, are not only like a settlement enclosed by escarpments, but they are like mountains themselves. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. To the ancient minds, mountains could be seen to represent any number of things, but most often they symbolized a sturdy and stable reality, which again is the sense I've been describing as I reflected on these words. Mountains stand tall in the face of all manner of weather. They remain intact when human-made structures are abandoned and crumble. More than anything else in a given landscape, they're untouched by the endless turning of time. They're untouched, unfazed at their core by the seasons. They're unshaken by the rise and fall of empires. So it is, the psalmist writes, for people of faith. They're like Mount Zion. Those who trust in God are like the mighty mountain of God, which is, it was said once, to be rooted in the very heart of the earth, and which rose up from it so dramatically, offering a sure and a strong defense by means of steep slopes on nearly every side. I have something of an obsession with mountains. I'm sure you'll have gathered as much by this point, let alone after 6 years of hearing me drone on about them. When I was last in British Columbia in early August of this year, I hiked with some of my in-laws to the summit of Mount Steele near Seychelles on the Sunshine Coast. Who knows which postal code our family will end up in when the dust settles this fall and winter. But these days we're looking at listings in the city of Maple Ridge. Some of you may know it. It's near where Megan has now taken a position as a social worker, close enough to where my in-laws live, and to my own delight, within minutes of Golden Ears Provincial Park, which is home to the likes of Alouettes, Blanchards, Edge, and Golden Ears Peaks. Perhaps they will be my little ring of hills. We'll see. All the same, as I spent time with the psalm these past weeks, I wondered if it really was what I wanted to share on the last Sunday I preached here. Surely there were other verses I could have chosen, passages that might better encourage and challenge in this time, texts that could have given voice to the deep gratitude I feel looking back at the years I've been here. Was I being self-indulgent, drawn as I was to the beautiful imagery? Was I being stubborn to bind myself to the lectionary when I had freedom to choose from any place in Scripture for this occasion? In some ways, maybe. I don't know. The more I reflected on it, though, the more I believe that these words hold meaning for us in this time. Psalm 125 is one of the Hebrew pilgrimage poems. It's a song of ascents, which the people would have chanted together on their upward journey to the annual festivals which took place in Jerusalem. It is, in other words, a prayer for the roads, and a prayer for uncertain and anxious days, which these most certainly are. They're uncertain and anxious for everyone, and uniquely so for churches, for the church. As it has been for so long now, we don't know what these next weeks and months will look like. We don't know when a post-pandemic reality will finally come, what that shape that will be, nor do we know what that will look like for congregations like ours. We don't yet fully know either what pastoral leadership will look like here moving forwards. This will continue to be a time in which our faith, our commitments, and our bonds of fellowship will be tested. And so there's much work to be done these days. There's much prayer and encouragement that's needed. There's a need for spiritual renewal, for a rediscovery of faith, a recommitment to faith practices. There's forgiveness to be sought and to be granted. There's deep need for understanding, patience, for resources, for volunteers and supports. There is all of that for you as a church community. But there's also the assurance of Psalm 125. That despite all of the many causes for distress that we might see around us in the world on any given day, God surrounds his people as the mountains surround Jerusalem and will continue to do so both now and forevermore. Psalm 125 ends with a line of blessing. Peace be on Israel. Peace be on Israel. Eugene Peterson says this about that verse. A colloquial, but in the context, accurate translation would be, relax. We are secure. God is running the show. Neither our feelings of depression, nor the facts of suffering, nor the possibilities of defection are evidence that God has abandoned us. There is nothing more certain than that he will accomplish his salvation in our lives and perfect his will in our histories. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. May that be God's word, a blessing for you today and in the days to come as you continue on in your pilgrim journey. Peace be upon you. Relax. You are secure. God is running the show. Amen. I'll have more to say next week, especially by means of thanks. For now, let those be my words for now. And as we close off our service, I wanted to do something I haven't done for nearly 2 years now, and that's to join our worship bands. Next week, we'll be reintroducing song leaders. My understanding is there may be more elements introduced in the weeks to come. Those are being planned by others, and I'll leave it for them to announce that. For now, I wanted to invite you to listen along silently to these words of this song, which are adapted again from that prayer of St. Patrick. Invites our musicians up. thank you for joining us today. Just because it has been so long, a reminder that we'll begin with this side, leaving first, starting at the back. I ask that you wait as we do so, and once they've done, this side can exit as well. And going out the side doors, the ushers will be there to guide you as well. Share again a version of that prayer of St. Patrick one more time, adapted to read in the second person. That's a blessing for you. May Christ as a light illumine and guide you. May Christ as a shield overshadow you. May Christ be under you. May Christ be over you. May Christ be beside you on your left and on your rights. May Christ this day be within and without you, lowly and meek yet all-powerful. May he be in the hearts of each one to whom you speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto you. May Christ this day be within and without you, lowly and meek yet all-powerful. Christ as a light, Christ as a shield, Christ beside you on your left and on your rights. May you go in peace. Amen.